Hey, great to be back with you all again here on Backlash Radio on an absolutely beautiful day live from Surfside, California, where we're ready to get into all kinds of great stuff. There's great local fishing going on as we are having one of the best seasons I can ever remember in 2015. Local yellowtail, yellowfin tuna, the marlin are off the hook here in Southern California, and so many other interesting things going on that we'll be covering on today's edition of Backlash Radio with you all. Hey, and joining me on today's show, my co-host, Will Ebersman. Mensa Man, how the heck have you been?
Pretty dang good, Phil. Glad to be here on a gorgeous, gorgeous Thursday.
You are going to be talking about a lot of great stuff, but two things in particular. We're going to have Armando Gonzalez drop by, I hope, in the studio and talk about the incredible find of an oarfish. You'll have some oarfish facts and more for us, won't you?
Absolutely, Phil. It was fascinating to do a little research on these creatures.
Looking forward to that. And also, we've got a big old El Nino heading our way, but we have this blob. I remember this movie, The Blob, when I was a kid with Steve McQueen, I think it was. Dumbest movie I've ever seen in my life, and I watched it 43 times. That's what I do when I see a dumb movie. But you'll be talking about The Blob and the oncoming El Nino, which may be the biggest one on record, and how those two may interact together.
Absolutely, Phil. And the movie that I watched in my youth was Attack of the Killer Crabs, talking about psychic gigantic crabs eating an island. So you watch The Blob, I had this fresh food fetish. Anyway, yeah, we're going to be talking a little bit about El Nino, about how big it could be, what the blob is, and how the blob and El Nino might be ready to rumble.
I saw that crab movie. I know what you're talking about, but it did not top Them. I don't know if you ever saw Them, but those were the giant ants that were running around New York or something, and they had flamethrowers to attack these things. You ever see that one?
I vaguely remember that from my youth. I also remember there was a gigantic wasp that ended up being blown up in, I think, the Lincoln Tunnel. And I think it was in black and white, which will tell you how old that thing was.
All right, enough of that nonsense. We're going to move into the show, and we have a great show for you. We'll take a commercial break, and then we'll be back with Backlash Radio and lots more today on a beautiful Thursday afternoon, live from Surfside, California, back in just a bit. You know, the fishing is not going to get any better than it is here in 2015. And 22nd Street Landing in beautiful San Pedro, California can make your sport fishing dreams come true. Catch that giant yellowtail, big halibut, and so much more. Barracuda bass on the great boats out of 22nd Street Landing. The Freedom, the Pursuit, the Monte Carlo, the Native Sun, the Fortune, the Ultra, and the Shoreliner Whale Watching Nature Cruises. 22nd Street Landing has it all for you. You can fish the islands, offshore tuna, locally, twilight trips, half-day trips, three-quarter-day trips, and you're never going to find a year where fishing is better than 2015. Give them a call down there at 22nd Street Landing today at 310-832-8304 or visit them at www.22ndstreet.com. If you and your group are looking for a couple of great sport fishing vessels to charter, look no further than Gale Force and Triton Sport Fishing, located at L.A. Waterfront Sport Fishing in beautiful San Pedro, California. You know, it doesn't matter if you're a novice or an expert fisherman. You're going to enjoy what Triton and Gale Force Sport Fishing have to offer. If you're a novice angler, they'll take you right through it. They'll teach you how to tie your hooks, how to hook a fish, and how to have a wonderful experience on the water. And if you're an expert fisherman, well, these captains know how to put you right smack dab in the middle of some of the best sport fishing you'll ever experience. Catalina Island, the local waters, and even offshore tuna could be in your future. And besides personal charters, they also offer some great open party trips there with Gale Force Sport Fishing and Triton Sport Fishing. More information, you can go to their website at Gale Force Sport Fishing. That's G-A-I-L for Sport Fishing. .com or call Captain Ryan on his cell at 310-844-3814. Get on the Triton and the Gale Force now. I just love fishing on board the Pacific Islander out of Cisco Sport Fishing in Oxnard. You've been listening to me for over 30 years now, so you know when I tell you something from the bottom of my heart, I really mean it. And I could not recommend a boat with more enthusiasm than I do for the Pacific Islander. Their crew, starting with Captain Steve Virtue, have elevated customer service to a high level, higher than I've ever seen before. Laura's hamburgers are to die for. And the Channel Islands, my God, giant halibut, great white sea bass fishing, and some of the best rock fishing you'll encounter anywhere. It is such a pleasure to fish on the Pacific Islander. And if you're a novice, it is the perfect boat for you. If you're an expert, you're going to love it. Go to ChannelIslandSportFishing.com or give them a call at 805-382-1612. You know something? Talk about the perfect location. Helgren Sport Fishing in Oceanside, California. They can go south into Mexican waters. They can head out to San Clemente Island. There's so many banks nearby loaded with tuna and yellowtail this year. And they've got it all. They've got the Sea Trek, the Oceanside 95, and the Electra. Half, three-quarter day trips, full day trips, multi-day trips, twilight fishing. They have it all. You want to go on a whale watch trip, catch sharks, go on a harbor coastal cruise excursion. Helgren's and Oceanside can make it happen. And the captains and crews on the boat have elevated customer service to a very high level. If you're a novice or expert angler, you're going to love Helgren's Oceanside Sport Fishing. They are perfectly located to make sure you get out and catch lots of fish. Go to HelgrensSportFishing.com today and get out on one of their fine boats. Hey, dropping by the studio right now is a good friend of the show and a good friend of mine, Armando Gonzalez. Armando, what's up, man? How you doing today?
Doing awesome. How you doing, Phil?
I'm doing good. I couldn't believe my eyes on the other day when you sent me this text, and here is a photo of an oar fish. You got to be feeling really fortunate to have seen that on your birthday, nonetheless.
That was a great day. Just got to the island and to do a little fishing for my birthday, and rode eastward, and a guy told me that there was an oar fish that washed ashore that morning. So I proceeded down the way and found it, and it was an amazing, amazing discovery.
What did you think when you first saw the thing? I mean, those are the creatures that were the inspiration for all these sea serpent tales of the Ancient Mariners and everything else. It must have been just incredible to stand there and look at that creature.
It was. It was. I was in awe. I just couldn't believe it. To actually see one in person. I've read about them in articles being washed ashore in Sea of Cortez, down in San Diego, Catalina. But to actually see one in person was a treat.
Tell me about the condition. It looked fairly well decomposed to me from the photos. Was it newly found, or did it look like it had been dead for a while?
No, it did look like it had been dead for a while. That's one thing I was thinking about, was part of the lower jaw was missing, probably decomposed. A big chunk of the tail was missing, and there was the pectoral fins were also gone. There was no color in the fish, so it did look like it had been dead for a couple of days.
All right, and how big was it? Did we get a length on it?
They measured it there on the spot at 15 and a half feet, and the biologist that dissected it later that afternoon estimated that there was about a foot missing off the tail, so close to about 17 foot, could have been at full length.
And did the biologist say anything about what they were going to do with that? Were they going to ship it over to the aquarium, or was there any plans that you heard about?
No, I just went by on the swinging back after fishing and saw the biologist, but I didn't speak to the biologist.
All right, you can't remember her name?
It's Misty Page Tran, I think. She's a biologist, marine biologist from the Cal State University of Fullerton.
All right, excellent. And the folks over at the island, did you talk to them? Had they ever seen one before? Was this the first time they'd ever seen one? I know several have washed up there at Catalina Island.
Yeah, there was a couple of people there. Not that much. It wasn't a big crowd. There was probably maybe 3 to 5 people, 7 people at a time. No, it was pretty calm.
How do you rank this experience in all the things you've done? And, of course, I should remind everybody that when we need volunteers to help kids, you and your kids show up out of Bass Pro Shops. I saw you out there working so hard with us. But how does this rank as an outdoor experience for you? I know you're a waterman. You love the ocean. How did this feel to see this thing?
This was definitely a 10+. The only thing that could have been better was if I would have had my kids with me. But definitely an experience that I'll take with me forever.
Excellent. Well, good stuff, man. Will Ebersman, a little bit later in the show, is going to talk about oarfish and just what unique creatures they are. But I have never seen that. I actually saw one. I was in the freezer at Palmas de Cortez picking up my fish, and I go, what in the heck is an oarfish doing in here? And they had found one a year before, and they kept it frozen down in the East Cape in Baja. But to see one on the beach like that, man, I envy you, and I'm so happy you got to experience that. Just another reason why we all love to fish and be around the water. You just never know what you might happen upon.
That's true. That's true. Every day on the water is a different day. Great.
Armando, good to see you, my friend. Thanks for dropping by.
Thank you, Phil. Good to see you.
Absolutely incredible. What a rare opportunity for our good friend Armando Gonzalez to see that oarfish. Really, really great stuff. And now Will Ebersman, Mensa Man, has some interesting facts about the oarfish. Will, take it away.
Thank you, Phil. Yeah, I was doing some research on this, and I learned all sorts of stuff I didn't know. So do you know that the oarfish is the world's longest bony fish? I was thinking it might be whales, but then I realized whales are not fish. So, yeah, oarfish can be up to 17, 18 feet long. There's some reports of samples that were a little bit bigger, but they've been chomped on by whales or other by sharks or other predators. So it's hard to get an exact length and measurement. So, yeah, they're long fish. They're also a deep fish. They have been found as deep as 3,300 feet or about 1,000 meters. So reminiscent of squid or some swordfish. I suspect that what happens is they stay down at the bottom during the day out of the light. They come up and they follow the squid and other fish, bait fish, as it comes up to the top. And we see them when they get sick, when they're predated, or perhaps they're just too weak to go down at the end of the life cycle. So another interesting thing. Also, for those of you who have been wondering, what does an oarfish taste like? According to NOAA reports, and I quote exactly, their flesh is flabby and gooey. So if you think that you're going to have some sort of culinary delicacy, unless you like tapioca, this doesn't sound like an out-of-the-ballpark winner. They are also sometimes called the king of the herrings because of their physical resemblance to the smaller fish. But they actually get their name oarfish because of their longer pectoral fins, which are reminiscent of oars. And in Palau, one of the islands, they are also called roosterfish, not to be confused with the roosterfish that we see down in Mexico. As long as these fish are, that 17, 18 feet I was talking about, the oarfish only eat plankton, maybe a little krill, and they are not dangerous. So they may have been the source of many of the stories about people seeing sea monsters or gigantic fish, but the oarfish is absolutely not dangerous to people. They do have a very small opening in their digestive systems, so even if they were to bite a person, it's highly unlikely that they'd be able to swallow pieces of you just because of the small opening into their digestive tract. They don't even have real teeth. They have those bony rakers, or gill rakers, similar to leopard sharks and some of the others, where they just sort of gum their bait. And interestingly enough, it's a fish that does not have any scales. They have what are called tubercules, and they have a shiny coating material called guanine, which I think is actually a basic protein building block. They are adapted to survive under high pressure, keeping in mind that they're going down to 1,000 meters, but at the surface, the skin is soft and easily damaged. That's one of the reasons why you don't really see good samples. I suspect the pressure differential and the mechanisms that allow the skin to be adaptive just aren't good for protecting it. And lastly, you've heard the rumor that oarfish are supposed to predict earthquakes, at least according to the Japanese folklore. They're They're known as the messengers for the sea god's palace, according to the Japanese. And the belief is that if many of the fish watch up, it may signal a coming earthquake. According to the publication Japan Times, there could be some scientific basis to that story. And the theory is that the fish are sensitive to movements of active faults, and that movement may force them to move up just in response to that. So there's a couple more facts you know about oar fish. They are rare. They're not dangerous. They eat plankton, and they're just one of those oddities that nature has produced.
Excellent stuff, Will. Learned a lot about oar fish, and again, one of those rare things here in Southern California. Not many people have seen them dead or alive, and for Armando Gonzalez, it's a birthday that he will never forget. And forget this predicting earthquake stuff. When an oar fish can predict the winner in the fifth race tomorrow at Los Al, then I'm interested. Great job, Will. Let's head over to Pierpoint Landing in Long Beach, California, and talk to our dear friend Don Ashley. Don, how are you doing today?
Oh, fine, guys. Good morning.
All right, let's start out with a question. Best year you've ever seen in your career this year?
It's going to be there. It keeps on like this. Like I say, the only downside was we had very, 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 very few white sea bass caught. It was a pretty miserable spring as far as the sea bass, so that fishing is out. But as far as the late spring, early summer, and now into midsummer, it's been fantastic fishing.
And the sea bass thing is not really any big enigma, is it? It's the water's too warm for a sea bass bite, I'm surmising, right?
Yeah, well, that's it. And there was very little squid, and obviously they eat sardines and stuff, but it just was not conducive. But for everything that was conducive for the tremendous yellowtail and yellowfin tuna and bluefin tuna and now Dorado was not good for the sea bass. They're still there. There's no their numbers weren't hurt at all. If anything, there'll be a lot more of them next year because they had a great chance to spawn, and their spawn should be really, really good. So next few years should be fantastic.
Excellent. Let's start out with the local bite, and I can attest that the local bite is as good as it gets because I went out in a skiff and actually caught a couple of big yellowtails. So it can't get much better than that, can it?
No, and you just said the optimum word, big. You know, we've had other years where the half-day boats and three-quarter-day boats really killed the yellows local and stuff, but not in the size that we're having now. There's been very, very few fish caught under 10 pounds, and I'd have to say the average local yellowtail, when you add them all up, is probably still over 20 pounds, with several in the 35- and 40-pound class, and a big area spread out all over from outside the rigs down at Huntington Beach or all the way up to out to Rocky Point now, and just continuing on.
I was amazed at the slugs that we caught. We had five fish fishing with the Freedom Boat Club, and Donnie, man, they are really beautiful fish, and what a big area. I mean, we were fishing one area, then we ran to another one, and we found yellows in both those areas. In the second area, we found a bunch of bonita and barracuda and just constant action. We watched the City of Long Beach and Mitch catching fish. We watched the Victory hanging fish, the Enterprise. It really looked juicy. It looked big in terms of the area and the fish, and they were eager to bite. I've got to tell you, it was really excellent fishing.
Yeah, it has been. On the weekends, because the fish are so close, it's been almost like too many boats, and some weekends the fish just get driven down by the boat traffic. But last weekend, they did their best to keep on biting, and, just anybody in a small boat can get out to them very easily, and more power to them, but it makes it tough on the passenger carrying boats. And like I say, last weekend it slowed them down, but not terrible. And if you can go during the week, that's the best time to go because you don't have all the boat traffic. But there's so much fish here, and I've said this all summer. The best fishing is still to come. September, October, maybe even into November. But I think September, October, you're going to see some fantastic fishing, local and still offshore.
Excellent. All right. So let's get offshore and talk about the Tornado and what's been going on in the offshore regions. You know, it's fishing. Sometimes they don't bite. But overall, it's been excellent with yellowfin tuna. We're not seeing the amount of bluefin that we were seeing, I don't think. You can clue me in on that, but more yellowfin, more Dorado, and just excellent fishing.
Yeah, and interestingly enough, we're getting some other species in there. We're starting to catch some big eye mixed in and some skipjack mixed in and the Dorado. So it's been, and when I say offshore, it's, you know, normally when we're talking about offshore, it's when you're out past San Clemente Island and towards Tanner Cortez Bank or the 60 Mile Bank, 43 Fathom Spot, you know, like that. But we're not. We're fishing offshore. It's anywhere from 10 to 20 miles off of Dana Point, Oceanside, La Jolla. Today, the boats were all fishing together. The Long Beach, San Pedro boats, San Diego boats were all fishing side by side down there about 50 miles from here, about 40 miles from San Diego, and it's just tremendous fishing. Some boats today had limits of yellowfin and right after daylight. It's huge areas, and the other thing, normally when you're catching this number of yellowfin, everybody just assumes that they're what we call the rats, the small ones. They're, you know, 6 to 8 pounds with a few 15 or 20. Well, this year it hasn't been that way. They're 20 to 30 pounds, and there's been a lot of 60 and 70 pound yellowfin caught, and, you know, which is very unusual for, you know, for up in our waters. And bluefin did back off, not too many last few days, but that happened a few weeks ago, and then they came back with a vengeance.
It wouldn't surprise me to see that again. Is it accurate to say that we are fishing almost in the times or similar kinds of catches that were going on back in the 30s and when Zane Grey was around and George Farnsworth? Is that an exaggeration or is that fairly accurate?
A month ago when we were catching the really jumbo bluefin up to 200 pounds, lots of 160, 180 pounders, that's a perfect you know, analogy to it. Right now, not too many of the bluefin and not too many big ones. And back in the Zane Grey era and stuff, they targeted mostly the bluefin. And I've done a lot of reading and research and stuff, and I think it was one of those anomalies when the bluefin and the albacore were really, really thick. They're usually associated with a little bit colder water. And the yellowfin were not so thick, because you don't really hear anything about going out off Avalon or rowing your boat out and catching 100, 200-pound yellowfin. You hear about the bluefin and the big albacore catches. So that's about the only difference.
Excellent. All right. And anything else that has been going on, that's any crazy stuff that you've heard, or just continued good, steady fishing?
Good, steady fishing. Some days really, really phenomenal. Even on the down days, it's been good fishing. The catches are phenomenal when you think about on a half day and the boat catches 100 big yellowtail on a morning or an afternoon trip. And, you know, I'll tell you, you need to be geared up. You need to come out with 30 or 40 pound tests and some bigger hooks. We're fishing with sardines and mackerel for the big fish. And if you're not, you're going to get ripped up and destroy your tackle. And that's one problem all the landings are having, is keeping their rent tackle in good condition, just because the big fish are just, they're destroying it. You know, it's just not made to grind on big fish day after day.
Yeah, I got to tell you, you know, I think in some cases we're getting a little too used to this, because now sometimes you'll hear a guy running a half-day boat say, yeah, it was a slow day today. We had 28 big yellowtail today. So hopefully we'll get them tomorrow. I mean, you and I both know there are years when you would die for a catch like that.
Oh, on a half-day boat forever. And, you know, it's not expected to happen. And one other thing just to throw in there, because I like people to be conscious of the fact that it's warm water year. Bait has been a problem. The entire coast has been a problem. But fishing's been fantastic, so we've been able to fight our way through it. But you can go on any boat on any given day and have a real bad bait problem. So sometimes they're trying to snag mackerel for bait. Sometimes they're chunking the bait up because a live bait dies. But whenever you have water warm, you're going to have bad bait, and that's the way it's always been. Then when the water is cold, the bait lives a lot better, and a lot of times we have anchovies. Right now we're fishing almost 100% with sardines and mackerel, but you just have to go out there, bigger hooks and jigs. The yellowfin love the jigs, both yellowtail jigs and those flat bars and some of those other ones. They love that, and they're catching the chunks. Just like in Mexico, the guys are putting on a chunk and a little bit of a 2 or 3 ounce sinker and getting down there, and they're biting that just like you're at the East Cape. So come out and have a good time, and if the bait's not perfect, make the most of it.
Really excellent advice. Donnie, if we want to join you at either Pierpoint Landing in Long Beach or Long Beach Marina Sport Fishing, what's the best way to do that?
Well, Pierpoint Landing, you can call 562-983-9300, and that's for the overnight boat Tornado, half-day boat Southern Cal, and the three-quarter-day boat Victory. And for Long Beach Marina Sport Fishing, you can call 562-598-6649 for the three-quarter-day Twilight boat Enterprise and a half-day boat City of Long Beach. And they're both places are having tremendous fishing. So keep going fishing and start hiding some money from your wife, because you're going to need some more money when it comes October. The fish should still be here.
Oh, I hope she's not listening, or you're going to get a bunch of guys in trouble. It's going to be worse than this, what is it, this Madly Adisha or whatever. Ashley Madison, you know, you've heard that whole thing. Never mind. You're probably on that thing for all I know. Donnie, thanks for being with us.
All right. Good fishing to you guys, and have a nice summer.
Time to jump over to my good friend Al Schnepershoff, who is standing by down there at beautiful Dive and Surf. I think he's at Dive and Surf. He usually is doing his thing. Al, how are you today?
I'm good, good, good. I'm heading to Dive and Surf, but I'm not there yet. But I usually there 3 or 4 days a week doing the spearfishing, doing the spearfishing lessons, and then getting people in the water the next day.
All right. Well, very good. You were just out doing some spearfishing, I know, and I'm curious, how did it go? Where were you, and did you have students out there, and how did it go?
I had 3 people in the water yesterday. We were around, they call it, I call it Arch Reef. It's just north of Point Vicente, where you can spearfish.
Okay, and how'd it go?
We got 2 sheep's head that were about 18 inches, a calico bass that was 16 inches, a yellowtail that was about 8 pounds, and various different kind of perch. So everybody went home with some fish, and you know, and I showed them how to clean it up on the beach, you know, flayed it up or gutted it and took the head off. And you know, it just depends on what size fish we do it a different way. I you know, flay it up or cut it up.
Excellent stuff. Did you see any other yellowtail other than the one you got? I know there's a lot around this year.
Well, the guy that got it said there was a school of 20 fish, you know, and of course when he shot the one, the school left. You know, sometimes the schools will hang around. You know, I've shot 3 20, 25-pound yellowtails out of one school before they decided that, you know, I was getting too many of them.
All right, good stuff. And your classes at Dive and Surf, why don't you tell me a little bit about that?
Okay, usually they're on the weekends. I do the classroom part that's $40 at 1 o'clock at Dive and Surf, and that's 504 North Broadway in Redondo Beach. And then the next day, Sunday morning at 8:30, we go to Palos Verdes, different areas depending on, you know, wherever the clearest water is, you know, because Palos Verdes is a pretty big area, so I can usually find some place to get us in the water, and that's $110. So the full package for the class and the dive is $150, and I'll take out as few as 2 people and as many as 7. So, you know, I like it when I have 3 to 7, you know, because then I can, you know, see different levels of spear fishermen. Some are beginners, and some have been doing it for a while, and somewhere in between.
Excellent. And I'll tell you, that is a great value, Al. You can't beat that. What is it going to cost me to buy the gear necessary to participate in one of the classes, or can I rent it at Dive and Surf?
Well, you can rent everything at Dive and Surf, and it's about $45, but the only thing they don't let us rent is the free dive fins, because they only have scuba fins. I mean, you can do the class in the scuba fins, but once you get the free dive fins on your feet, and I have a pair that I let people borrow if they're the same size as my feet, but Dive and Surf sells them for $134, and sometimes they have sales where they're 20% off. Like, I think their next sale is going to be Labor Day weekend, so you could get in there and get the fins $134 minus 20%. So basically, you know, it's roughly about about $110.
Excellent stuff. I understand if you mention Phil Friedman Outdoors, they'll throw you right out of Dive and Surf. So there's another bonus for you.
No. They love you there.
All right.
You know, and I can't wait till we can get another show going there. I mean, we did that one for the White Sea Bass tournament. That was fun.
Yeah, that turned out awesome. That was a great show, thanks to you and all the great people, Jay Reif and all the folks that were there. Next month, you have a 4-day trip to Catalina, am I right?
Yes, September 12th to the 15th. And right now I have 3 people confirmed going, and I could take as many as 6 or 7. I'll just have to get a bigger house. That's easy to do because now that the kids are back in school during that time, there'll be, you know, houses available for a little less money than the summertime. And they're, you know, right now they're catching a lot of yellowtail over there. I mean, my friend just got back from spearfishing, and he got, between three guys, they got 12 yellowtail between 20 and 35 pounds. So there's a lot of yellowtail over there right now.
All right, a four-day trip. What is the itinerary? What do you do?
You take the Cali Express over, and that's included in the $850 charge for the trip. We take the Cali Express over Saturday morning. We go to the house or the hotel, depending on how many people I have, and we unload our clothes, and then we walk down to the Green Pier in Avalon. We rent a boat for 4 hours each day, and then we go out spearfishing for 4 hours. We come back, and the last time I went over there, the clients I had went back to the hotel and took a three-hour nap because they were pretty exhausted from diving for 4 hours. And then the cost includes the Cali Express, 3 days on a rental boat, breakfast and lunch. Dinner's not included because we'll probably go out to dinner or maybe barbecue some fish if we get some yellowtail. So, you know, it's a pretty good deal. And then you get my spearfishing expertise when we're in the water trying to get you on yellowtail or calico bass or halibut, you know, depending on where we dive and what we're looking for.
All right. That all sounds good. And by the way, remind me to hook you up with a guy by the name of Andrew Hart. He has a company called the Freedom Boat Club over here in Huntington Beach. And he was mentioning, man, I would like to hook up. He's from Florida and just started this great business over here where you can have access to a boat every day of the month just about. And he was looking for a guy that did spearfishing. I said, I got the guy, man, the one and only, Al. And so remind me to hook you up with him. Then we're going to take off for Turtle Bay. Why don't you tell us about that trip?
Yes. Well, this is a trip Phil and I are putting together October 1 to the 8th. It's a Thursday to a Thursday. It's $1,650, and that includes the drive down there, the hotel driving there and back, the house, 3 days on a ponga for roughly 6 hours a day, the food, the non-alcoholic beverages, and my spearfishing expertise if you want to spearfish, or you can go out with Phil fishing. But I'm going to get Phil in the water on this trip, and I'm going to get him to spear a yellowtail. But
I hope you've got a big wetsuit.
We're going to find you one.
Thanks, Al. So, I thought you'd say something like, no problem, Phil, but now we're going to have to do a worldwide search for my wetsuit. Thanks.
No. Dive and Surf has one. I've already lined it up.
If not, we can glue a couple together.
Yeah. No. I already got... You know, I have a guy that's about your size, you know, 6 foot, 200 pounds.
Yeah, 185, actually, but thank you.
Okay. But you know what? Down there in October, the water's going to be like 80 degrees, so you can get in the water with just a shorty wetsuit, and you'll be fine.
Perfect. I'm looking forward to doing that. And tell us about Turtle Bay itself. What kind of an area is it? It's a very sparsely populated area. The people that live there are really nice people, right?
Well, yeah, I've been down there, believe it or not, 100 times in the last 20 years. And these people down there, it's about a 4,000 populated area of people. But where we stay, it's called Punta Eugenia. It's a little fishing village with, I don't know, maybe 30 people. The Pongero I go out with built a six-bedroom house right on the water. We have a kitchen, we have two bathrooms, and I'm going to be bringing a new barbecue down on this trip so you can cook us some good steak.
Oh, I'm in, man.
Steak cooker.
That sounds like fun, Al. That sounds great. And, of course, the fishing down there can be phenomenal. In October, what would you expect to be fishing and spearfishing for?
Well, the last seven times I've been down there during this week of October, I've speared a lot of white sea bass, anywhere from 48 to 72 pounds. And I'm just hoping the water's not too warm because if the kelp is gone, then it's harder to spear them because we use the kelp to hide into the spear of the white sea bass. But yellowtail were always there, you know, and if you're a beginner spear fisherman or you want to fish for calico bass, you know, I have spots where you can catch 7 to 8, 9, 10 pound calico bass, you know, some grouper areas, you know, the barracuda might be running. I've been down there where we filled the boat up with barracuda, you know, 32 to 38 inches. You know, it just depends on what you like to eat and what you want to catch. I mean, it's Turtle Bay or Punta Hena is right where the Baja fish meet the California fish. So you might run into a snapper. You know, there's probably going to be Dorado down there between the Punta Hena and Cedros Island. You know, there's so much area down there to fish. And, you know, usually I come back with 2 or 325 quart ice chests full of fillets. You know, so we'll have a big barbecue when we get back here or there, hopefully at Seal Beach where you live, you know, and have our clients over and talk about the next year's trips.
Man, it sounds great to me, Al, and it's always good to hear your voice, my friend. Listen, if people want information on these trips or they want to join you in a class or perhaps they want to talk to you about an individual type of one-on-one type of class, what's the best way to get in touch with you?
You can call me on my cell phone, 310-595-4214.
All right, Al Schnepperschoff, it is always a pleasure, my friend. Have a great day, and thanks for joining us here.
Thank you, and maybe the next radio show will get back on, and we'll talk about my next up-and-coming classes and trips. I'm going out with these two guys that are tuna fishermen. And they want to learn how to spearfish. So we're going to go out next Thursday and Friday, and we're going to see how they do spearfishing.
Excellent. That sounds like a teaser for next week's show. Let's follow up and get a report from you on that next Thursday.
Okay, yeah. We'll talk next Thursday or the Thursday after after I get in the water so I can tell you how they did.
Take care, Al. Thanks again, my friend.
Okay, you too. You can have a good one. Thank you so much.
All right, sounds like fun. Will heading down to Turtle Bay. Can't wait for that trip. It's going to be a blast.
Absolutely, Phil. I'd like to see if Al is as good as he says. He says he can get you and me in the water, and we're going to be shooting fish. Hopefully that's different fish, not us shooting each other. But, hey, it's October. We'll see what happens.
All right. Hey, you had a recent great event with the L.A. Rod and Reel Club where you went out and did some fishing. The fishing was great. Took a bunch of kids out there. You can tell us, I think, the Phoenix home or house or whatever. You'll fill us in on that. But it's something that we've been dedicated to here at PFO and Aventuras al Aire Libre for many, many years. And the guys over at the L.A. Rod and Reel Club are always doing a great job. But you had a special guest show up also right off LAX and put on an incredible show for you. Tell us about that whole trip.
Glad to, Phil. L.A. Rod and Reel has a nonprofit foundation, and we take a number of groups out during the year. We do a big trip out of Pierpoint Landing first Monday following July 4th, and we usually take 180 to 200 kids out on 4 or 5 boats. Two Mondays in August, we take out different groups. The one I was on most recently was Phoenix House. It's a home for troubled youth who have some drug addiction problems. We're also doing a couple trips later in the year, taking a couple of veterans groups out. So a lot of the money that we raise during the year from our fundraising activities goes to take people out who otherwise would not have the opportunity. On this trip, most recent one, which was this past Monday, we were out on the Betty-O, Marina Del Rey, with Captain Mike and his crew. His wife Patty was working in the galley. We had, 15 kids from Phoenix House. And these are kids that came from the valley, San Fernando Valley, never been out fishing before, and they had a blast. We cruised down. We were at the Palos Verdes Peninsula right near Rocky Point, and it was like fishing Cedros, Phil. Calico bass were nonstop. Now, a lot of them were smalls and got tossed back, but if you work the rail, you definitely could take your 5 legal calico. We caught a couple of smaller yellowtail. You know, rats in that 12, 15-pound range. But when you're working on 20-pound line, it's a heck of a fight, and these kids had an excellent time. On the way back, and it's about an hour and a quarter for the boat from Palos Verdes Peninsula, We were just passing LAX. The motor comes to a halt. Everybody starts looking around going, hey, what's happening? We had a humpback whale between us and land, probably about 60 feet of water, I'd say. Couldn't have been much more. Putting on a show. Came out of the water probably about halfway. Whale was probably, I would guess, 35 to 40 feet long. Had a couple of barnacles, but didn't look like it had been around forever and ever. And put on a show. Did a little diving. Didn't go down too far. As I said, we're in about 60 feet of water. Came up a couple of times, circled the boat once or twice, and then went on its merry way. So for what was an otherwise excellent day of fishing for these kids from Phoenix House, we had a little live entertainment in the form of a humpback whale. So, and not only were the kids happy, but, oh, hell, we're all suckers for that. The crew, the adult mentors, everybody was having a great time.
Good work, Will, and nice work there with the L.A. Rod and Reel Club also. Hey, earlier this week, we spent some time out on the water also, and we went out with the Freedom Boat Club in Huntington Beach and had a great time with the owner of the Freedom Boat Club, Andrew Hart, the Huntington Beach division. And, man, what a great, great, great deal this is. I'm so happy to be a member now, where you make a down payment, you make a monthly payment, and then you call in at any time, and you can put four reservations in at any given time. So you can reserve four dates, and let's say you go and use one of those dates, then you just all of a sudden call back in and always keep four dates on the books, which is great. So you have four dates where you can take these brand-new, beautiful boats out of the Freedom Boat Club, and we did just that. We headed out early in the morning on Tuesday morning, and out we went to the 105 spot. I had some numbers from our GPS locations, and 5 minutes after being there, Rafael Yamas from Paramount, California, a good friend of the show and a good friend of ours, he was onto a great big yellowtail, ends up with about a 22-pound yellow just a few minutes after being there. We fished hard the rest of the day. The bite kind of slacked off with the slack tide, but then the tide picked up in the afternoon, and we caught another four big yellows, giant yellows. So we ended up with five fish for the guys that were on board, and also some bonita, barracuda, calico bass. But, man, those boats are so beautiful. And we ran all over the place, Will. We were all over the coast, and the fuel bill came to $70 at the end. In fact, when we pushed away from the docks in the morning, I was thinking to myself, never a really good idea to push off the docks unless the engine is running. The engine was running. You just couldn't hear it. It was so quiet. Such an amazing ride on the boat. And I got to tell you, you're going to love it. You're going to have to get out with us. You were invited but had something else to do, like God knows what. But really a great deal.
Absolutely, Phil. I was a little jealous of you. Just one, two things that you didn't hit on. One, it's not a down payment. It's an initiation fee. So you pay that once, and then you've got the monthly fee. Not only do you have the four rolling reservations, but Freedom Boat is not just out of Peter's Landing. It's all over the U.S. It's in Florida. They're inland. They're up and down the coast. And you can have, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's four reservations at all of those landings as well. So if you're on the road and you plan it correctly, you could go out every single day from a different landing or take a different boat out every day of the year and never repeat yourself once. So this isn't just a one-shot, one-location, one-trick pony. They're all over the United States. I know they're in the Ozarks. They're all over the Gulf Coast states. So I can hardly wait to go out. And based on your boat handling history, the fact that the boat came back with everybody alive, Phil, just tells me that they're in superb shape.
They wouldn't let me anywhere near the wheel. That has a lot to do with why we came back, okay? Hey, really great, and I want to thank my friend Andrew Hart over there at the Freedom Boat Club for an extraordinary day on the water. We had such a good time. Google that, Freedom Boat Club, and give my friend Freedom Boat Club Huntington Beach, or go to PFO on Facebook, and you'll see the contact information there. Andrew Hart, great guy. He will set you up. He'll talk to you about the program. They put you through a training course. If you've never run a boat before, they'll put you through a classroom and on-the-water training course, and they'll get you up to speed. And, of course, you got us here at PFO with the GPS numbers for you. to put you on the hot bites. You're going to love it. And that local yellowtail bite, I got to tell you, it was so much fun watching the Victory and Scott Buechert and Mike Blue and all the great guys on the Victory, and they truly are great guys. I've seen them work with kids and do so much. The Victory was all over the fish that day, and my good friend Mitch Christensen over there on the city of Long Beach rode on by to say hi, and it was great to see him, Nacho out at the bait receiver, and so many of the great private boaters that we saw out there hooked up and catching these giant yellowtail. Will, it is a phenomenal sight to be a few miles off San Pedro or Long Beach and see the Cedros, Guadalupe Island, sized yellowtail all over the place. Everybody hooked up. It is really fabulous.
Well, Phil, you're right off the 150. It's, what, about 3 miles off shore from where you live? 8 miles. Okay. Well, they almost look the same. But here it is. You're 8 miles offshore. You can see land, and you are just absolutely whacking these beautiful white and green yellowtail. Real Cedros qualities, you said. I had one that your son Philip Jr. hooked and landed when he was out proposing on, also amazingly, one of those Freedom boat trips that Andrew was running. And I will tell you, we had some of that fish 2.5 hours out of the water, right on the grill, and it does not get any better than that. If you guys have any doubts as to whether or not you can catch a fish, I'm saying tell your wife, work the overtime, pass up on something else. I have not seen fish of this quality or this quantity this close in since 1995, 96, when we had the last really good El Nino. And Don Ashley said, we didn't quite have the white sea bass bite this year. That might change if the water gets a little cooler towards the fall, but if you can get out on a boat and you've got the gear for it, which is 25, 30-pound gear, chase the yellowtail, chase some of the calico. It is not going to get any better than this, guys, and you're in your own backyard. You got to do it.
All right. Hey, let me get you up to date on a few more other fishing opportunities right now down towards San Diego today. Magnificent yellowfin tuna action, and mostly LA Orange County-based boats got in on it also. Tremendous fishing down there around the Oceanside area, as it simply is not going to get any better. Wide open fishing going on down there in that neck of the woods, and beautiful grade 18 to 40-pound YFT down there. Few skipjack, few Dorado, few yellows on the kelps, but predominantly YFT, and it doesn't get much better. All those boys are getting in on it. Some fabulous fishing. And talk about great fishing. The pursuit at Catalina Island just keeps catching more and more yellowtail, and they're getting bigger. A lot of 18 to 25-pound yellowtail for John Woodrum and the pursuit out of 22nd Street Landing in San Pedro, California. Great fishing, and getting over 100 yellowtail per trip is starting to become commonplace. It is that good and that magnificent right now. Taking a look, as Will and I were just talking about, that local yellowtail bite has been up and down, but it's been very steady and excellent fishing on big grade yellowtail. All these fish require that you fish no lighter than 25, and that's probably too light. 25-pound fluoro is a little bit light. 40-pound more like it. If they'll bite it, choose a good hot bait, and you can get a bite that way. Talking to my good friend Gary LaCroix, who runs the Highliner out of Redondo, he said this has been one of the very best years he has ever seen, and Gary's been around for a long, long time. He said when they're not catching wide-open yellowtail, they are catching giant calico bass, as Will said, around the Palos Verdes area. He'll run over to the 105 and the horseshoe kelp out in front of San Pedro if he has to, and he's been over to Catalina, and he's been catching great fish, and he is convinced that they will be catching tuna very near the Santa Monica Bay very, very soon. And I have to agree. In fact, Sean Morgan, a good friend of mine who runs a yacht called the Good Karma, went into Point Firmin about a week ago, and there was nobody around. He'd just come back from marlin fishing, where he saw double digits on the marlin, by the way. That's been an off-the-hook marlin year. But coming back 3 miles off Point Firmin, all kinds of yellowfin doing cartwheels and chasing bait and tearing it up, and he picked off a couple of Dorado off a kelp there also. 3 miles off Point Firmin, 3 miles off San Pedro, really, really good. And there's a lot of yellows up there in the Channel Islands. They haven't been biting that well here recently. Talking to my friend Sean Stewart up there on the Aloha Spirit, Sean said, just a matter of time, Phil. This is getting ready to rock. And they every day pick off several nice yellowtail. They've had some great calico bass fishing up there. And their tuna season is going to kick into gear. Also, a lot of warm water up there behind Anacapa Island and elsewhere. Talking to my good friend Tommy Holland, he's running the Princess up there out of Verges in Morro Bay. And they just keep limiting out on bottom stuff. Lots of lings, lots of great fishing. Tommy Holland thinks in about 3 weeks, the possibility of albacore looms great. And he said he'll be checking that out. And, of course, we'll keep you in touch with that and so much more. Great fishing here in Southern California right now. And you get to be a big part of it by simply jumping on a boat and going fishing or looking into the Freedom Boat Club. I highly recommend you do just that. Time to head on down south and talk to my good friend Buzz Brizendine, owner operator of the Prowler out of Fisherman's Landing in San Diego. Buzz, how you doing today?
I'm doing well, Philip. We just got in off a very nice trip, and we're getting ready to go again.
Man, talk about good trips. I've seen nothing but some really good scores. It sounds like this yellowfin tuna bite continues really, really well.
It does, and it's spread over a big enough area that several boats can hit and not be all piled on top of each other.
That is good news. All right, let's talk about the yellowfin. How far away from Point Loma are they? They still remain fairly close, don't they?
They are. They're scattered from, I'd say, just talking Point Loma to Dana Point. Up and down the coast, you can catch yellowfin tuna.
And I just want to explore for a moment the human side of that. That's tough on a crew sometimes. I mean, it's nice to have that fish at 80 miles where you can get some sleep once in a while. Are you guys getting any sleep at all on these trips?
Well, we're fishing day and a half, so the guys are. But if you're trying to run daily overnight trips, it's a grind.
Oh, my God, I know. You're fishing late every day, and that is brutal. All right, the size of the fish, is it a mix, or what are we looking at?
Mostly yellowfin tuna. There are a very few bluefin scattered in there. And if you find a kelp, you might catch a nice dorado or two.
Do you think that's the end of the bluefin for this year, or do you just think they're out of the picture for a while?
I don't necessarily think it's the end at all. There's still a lot of bluefin around, I think, that just aren't up and biting yet.
All right. Tackle-wise, are these fish line shy, or do they bite the heavy string?
We've been recommending 30- and 40-pound tests with a fluorocarbon leader, and that seems to be working out real well.
Now, we talked briefly the last time about a guy who brought out a lure that looked like a red crab that was highly effective. Man, if that doesn't talk to match the hatch, I don't know what does.
It really does, and I don't have the picture for you, but one of my crew does, and I'll send it to you. It's really something.
And when you first saw this guy, I mean, I've seen contraptions when I was a deckhand or a passenger, and you look at these things and you're like, what is this guy thinking? Is that what went through your mind at first, and then all of a sudden you watch the guy hook up multiple times?
Oh, absolutely. When he broke this thing out, it was like a banana-looking sinker with a foot of stiff wire off of each end, and I thought, oh, boy, this is going to be fun. Well, all he did was catch fish on it.
That is crazy, man. That is good stuff. I love it. How's your weather been here recently?
It's been nice. Part of that is because we're fishing so far inshore. But it's been nice weather, so that's a good thing.
Are there any other species that you think we might see here in the future? You and I are both surprised we haven't seen a wahoo yet.
Absolutely. I think, it's 73, 74-degree water in lots of places and warmer in some places. And I would just think with the number of boats that are out right now, somebody would catch one.
Yeah, me too, for sure. And do we see much coming this way? I know you stay in touch with some of the boys that are working up and down the peninsula. Anything coming this way? Does it look like we have a ways to go here?
I think we still have a long ways to go here. However, with most of our boats, even the long-range guys, spending a big amount of time up here looking for the tuna, we're not getting the intel that we would normally get. So I can't be as specific as I would some other years.
All right. All right. Well, it all sounds good. Anything else that I failed to ask you about?
If you get the right stop, sometimes they'll bite the popper, which is always exciting. And there have been lots of stops where late in the stop, you get the last few fish on the chunks.
I love that. Yeah, private guys have been telling me A few of my really, really close friends are telling me, man, these things are loving the chunks this year. Have you seen the same thing on the sport boats or to a lesser degree?
To a lesser degree, only because, you know, we lead with our best fish, which is a nice, lively sardine.
Yeah, okay. Well, excellent, man. That all sounds good. The only other question I have is, how can we join Buzz and the Prowler? What trips do you have coming up with availability?
We're chartered over the weekend, but Sunday nights for Fishing Monday, we've got a one-day overnight trip, which has space available. And Monday night Fishing Tuesday is a day-and-a-half trip, which has space available.
Excellent. And the best way to book on the Prowler?
At this stage would be to call Fisherman's Landing at 619-221-8500 and ask for the Prowler.
Excellent. Hey, listen, myself and everybody listening to this, we're dying to see this red crab contraption. So when you get a chance, send that over. I'll post it up and let everybody take a look at this crazy thing that works so well.
We will definitely do that.
Buzz, have a great day. Good luck on your next trip, and thanks so much, as always, for your time.
All right. Thanks, Philip. Have a good day.
Let's head on out to Santa Ana River Lakes and visit with a really dear friend of the show, and that is Colby Elliott. Colby, how are you today?
I'm good, Phil. How are you?
I'm great, man. Always good to hear from you, and I'll tell you, there's been some excellent catfishing at Santa Ana River Lakes. What's happening out there recently?
It's the summer catfish. Everyone's getting on the 24-hour fishing, overnight camping. That's really popular, really good deal. You know, you get fishing with camping. We do that every weekend. They are catching catfish. We're putting them in every week. We put catfish in every Friday, and we put catfish and tilapia every other Friday. And we've had some big catfish come out of Corona Lake. We've been moving fish from Corona over to Santa Ana, and we posted a few videos from the transfers, and we're talking like 30, 40, 50, 60-pound class catfish. And actually, last week, someone landed a 61-pound, 9-ounce catfish in the catfish lake using shrimp, just straight shrimp, and it actually broke the angler's pole, but he still managed to land that huge fish. So if you're looking for catfish, Santa Ana River Lake's the place to be.
Man, I saw that fish. It was amazing. And when we posted the photo, it got so much attention. Just everybody was talking about it because, you know, I think when you think about freshwater fishing and you think about going catfishing, you're not thinking about your rod getting broken, but that is certainly a possibility now, isn't it?
Yeah, and that angler, we actually did a little interview, and he says, you know, he's fished a lot of lakes, but Santa Ana River Lakes is his home lake, his favorite lake, and every time he comes out, he's satisfied. And, yeah, sometimes you never know what you're going to get on the end of that line, and that sometimes you have to use that 20, I think he was using 20-pound test line. And he was able to land that, and you got to set that drag way loose because you never know what size catfish. We saw Blue Zilla swimming around out there, and he's probably over 80 pounds by now. We put him in at 78 pounds. He's been caught a couple of times, but there's lots of shad that he could be eating in that lake. He could be, you know, another 5-10 pounds by now. So, yeah, there's definitely huge fish at Santa Ana River Lakes to be caught.
All right, you mentioned the catfish lake, which surmises to me that there's, what, a couple of different options at Santa Ana River Lakes?
Yeah, we have three lakes. The catfish lake is more of like a trophy lake because what we primarily do is we stock catfish in the big lake. That's our main lake. And we stock catfish in Chris's Pond, which is a smaller lake behind, all the way towards the end of where you come in, on the entrance. And we usually stock the normal stockers where, you know, people catch and keep anywhere from 2 to, you know, 20-plus pound catfish. And whenever someone catches a huge catfish, let's say 20 and up, they'll bring it up, take a picture, they're very excited about it, and then we'll have them release it over in the catfish lake. Every once in a while, we'll stock the catfish lake just so people are trophy fishing over there for huge catfish, and some of the bass, crappie, and bluegill that we've taken from Corona Lake have also gone in that catfish lake. So the guys that are trophy fishing, catch and release type stuff, they'll go over to Catfish Lake. The guys that want to catch some food for dinner, you know, take home to their family, they'll usually fish in the big lake or the small lake in the back.
Excellent. Talk to me about tackle for catfish.
So right now, it seems the top three baits have been shrimp, mackerel, and worms. And people usually use anywhere from 8-pound test to 20-pound test. And what usually works for what I tell people when they come to the lake is I say, you know, set up one pole where maybe you're not going to cast very far, maybe no weight at all, maybe fly line some shrimp. That's pretty popular, so you won't cast it out very far if you're fishing from shore. And then, you know, set up another pole where you maybe have, you know, a 1-ounce, 2-ounce egg sinker on it with, depending on what type of bait you use, if you use shrimp, you probably use like a size 2 hook. And, you know, cast that one out as far as you can. So you're fishing one close and one far. And not just the tackle, it's also the spot. And I wouldn't say one particular spot over the other. I would say it's more of moving around until you find the fish. And I always tell fishermen that come in, you know, you're only going to get out of it how much work you put in it. And the more productive fishermen are the guys that usually move around and they'll hit the corners. Like we have 8 corners on the big lake, the way it's shaped. And so every hour I suggest, if you're not getting bites, move around to the different corners. You know, some of the top spots are like the boat dock, the bubble hole, the pump house, Levitt's corner, stuff like that. But if you're not too familiar with the lake and you're coming for your first time, all you have to do is remember corners, which is easy. So just move around to the different coves or corners, fish there for a little bit. If you're not getting any bites, move to the next corner. Eventually, you will find the fish, and especially with catfish, they tend to ball up. So once you're on top of them, you know, it's just amazing fishing.
Great advice. I'm loving it. Is it best to fish at night for the cats and therefore take advantage of the 24-hour camping?
Yeah, we always suggest that for catfish, it's more of a night thing. You can catch them during the day if you get right in front of them, but catfish are more nocturnal, so they'll go and look for the food at nighttime. So it is a little bit easier to catch catfish. And on top of that, you know, with it being hot, the summer nights are very popular because it's cool out, you're next to the lake, you can have a campfire, barbecue, bring your canopy, bring your RV, bring your tent, you know, catch your catfish and clean them and cook them right there. You know, it doesn't get any fresher than that. And some of the catfish we stock are the best tasting catfish around. Imperial Catfish Farm, you know, I hear that time and time again. We literally have the best tasting catfish. So, yeah, we recommend night fishing. We recommend the overnight fishing. Some of the best fishing, if you can stay awake, is like 1, 2 in the morning. So definitely want to check the overnight special out.
I can attest to how good eating those fish are, too. We went out there and caught a bunch, and I made a big feast here. And, God, I mean, those fish tacos lasted about 30 seconds, Colby. They were gobbled up so fast. It was really amazing to watch. They were more voracious than the catfish were that day. And what does that cost for the family to come out and camp and fish all night?
It's rather cheap for both camping and fishing. It's all included. For mom, dad, and 3 kids, it's only $75, and you get a fish from 5 p.m. to 4 p.m. the next day. So it's a super deal, you know, especially when you have the camping included and how often we stock every week, the fish are there. You know, you're not going to find a better deal around as far as camping and fishing is, you know, and I hear that from customers all the time.
I have to agree with you. Talking about good eating fish, tilapia. Lots of people love to eat tilapia. Talk to me about how to catch the tilapia.
So tilapia are a little different than catfish. You're going to use probably lighter gear. You only really need probably 4 to 6 pound test line. I mean, you could use your trout poles, really. And what you'd want to do is set up a probably a small single hook, probably like a 6 or an 8 even, just a small hook, and you use little pieces of nightcrawler. So you can take, you know, a lot of people make a mistake of where, even for catfish, like they'll use the whole nightcrawler. That's basically wasting it. You want to break it in half, and even for tilapia, you want to break it in like thirds, or even force, and you get more out of that nightcrawler container. And so typically tilapia, where I find them being caught, are next to, like, structure as far as, like, shade, right? So they'll be hiding under, you know, a boat dock, or if there's a tree next to the lake where it's causing shade. They like shaded structure areas. And, you know, we have those around the lake, various trees or ramps or docks. And you just kind of, they're close in, not very far, lightweight. You know, you could use this clip-on or crimp-on, a little tiny crimp-on sinker, and cast it out maybe 10, 15 feet next to the boat dock. And they usually hit it on the way down, and then once you feel that little bite, hook it, set it in, and it's probably a tilapia, because there's tons out there. We stock some big ones. They're like 1-2 pounds in size, and, you know, there's nothing better than a tilapia taco.
No, absolutely. And finally, the Huckleberry Pond for kids. Man, what better way to introduce kids to fishing and the great outdoors with all the animals you have over there and the great fishing? Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, that's a really good place to introduce kids into fishing. Whenever I see a car come up with kids in the back, that's the first thing I recommend, is to go over there and kind of get your feet wet. And all you have to do is, you don't have to bring anything. They have everything over there. They got the poles. They got the bait. They got volunteers that help out. You just come in and you pay for what you catch, basically. If you need a rod, you know, they'll rent you a rod. I think it's like $3. It's super cheap. You pay per pound, which I think is like $6.50 per pound. And you just pay for whatever you want to catch. If you want to catch a lot of fish, you know, there's tons of fish in there, easy to catch, great help. And it's really cool because it's not just the fishing and the volunteers, which are super nice. It's also the atmosphere. There's like tons of animals around, like goats, chickens, peacocks, a giant, huge turtle that cruises around, all sorts of animal right there. I think there's a couple of pigs. And kids have a great time there. It's really, really fun, and it really, they go away having appreciation for fishing, and especially, you know, kids don't have the patience. They'll learn the patience from that, and, you know, they'll hopefully graduate to the bigger lake where the big fish are.
I love that place. Not only the kids love it, I have a good time every time I go over there and visit. All right, Colby, well, it all sounds great. For more information or to come out to Santa Ana River Lakes, get in contact with you, what's the best way to do that?
You want to go to our website, fishinglakes.com. We have all the information as far as map, directions, prices, tips and tricks. You'll see our stocking videos that we film every week. And, yeah, it'll have all information, how to get there. And we're in Anaheim. You can see us right off the freeway, 91. And, yeah, fishinglakes.com is the place you want to be.
Colby Elliott from Santa Ana River Lakes. Colby, always a pleasure, my friend. Have a great day.
Thanks, Phil.
And if all that is not enough, I mean, such great tips and such a great place to catch fish with the family and your friends. If that's not all enough, how about $25 in discounts with PFO and Aventuras al Aire Libre? Just look here in the post and you'll be able to click and print your coupons and go to Santa Ana River Lakes and have a really great time. Thanks, Colby. Thanks all of you for listening in. Now get on out to Santa Ana River Lake, save big, catch lots of fish, and enjoy the great outdoors with your family and friends. Hey, I want to head on down south right now and talk to a really dear friend of the show, as well as me personally, and that is Rosie Torres from the Boys and Girls Club in beautiful Rosarito Beach. Rosie, how are you in Rosarito?
Felipe, oh, it's beautiful down here right now. It's quite the same over there. We're having a beautiful day, as always, in Rosarito Beach. Just having a great time and supposed to be working.
Well, you're like me. You do what you like to do for your work, so it doesn't feel like work when you're helping all those kids, does it?
No, it's beautiful looking at my kids and just seeing them every day develop their new skills, new talents, and just being a better person all around all my 100 kids that we work with daily.
All right, so we should fill everybody in. Rosie, of course, is the president of the Boys and Girls Club in Rosarita Beach, and I have seen the work that she is doing, the miracles that she's performing, the lives that she's changing. I have seen so much of that. I have never, ever run into kids more polite, more lovely. The kids that you are working with, Rosie, are so polite and so wonderful. And I've met many of the parents also on some of our fishing ventures. It just seems like a team effort, and you're the leader of it. What exactly is your goal in Rosarito Beach for the youth of the area?
Oh, thank you, Philip. Well, thank you for helping us out also and teaching my kids a few basic stuff about fishing and all the donations that you've been doing. We have so many details to do with our kids, but our main goal is to finish a building that we're doing for our club that we're going to be able to host up to 600 kids daily. So that's why we do several fundraisers, not just to maintain operations, which we've been operating thanks to all the donors and sponsors. For 3 years now, we've been operating with 100 kids daily, but we're also building a bigger club. So that's why we're hosting several events, several fundraisers. And our biggest one is very close now, our 6th annual International Mariachi and Folklorico Festival.
That is going to be September the 30th through October the 3rd, and that is a big party at my favorite hotel, the Rosarito Beach Hotel. Tell us about that event.
Thank you, Felipe. Yes, this one is our 6th annual festival. It's got a whole bunch of different events inside the festival. The two main reasons that we organize this event is fundraiser, as I mentioned, and to promote our Mexican culture. So we have everything from workshops. If you're interested in advancing in any type of musical instrument, song, and ballet folklorico, come on over. We also have, if you want to meet the Mexican, most famous in our Mexican culture, mariachi. We have a cocktail with the stars on Thursday, October 1st. If you want to get to see an international concert, not just with mariachi, but also norteño and banda and rock, come on over Friday. It's our main international inauguration concert, Friday the 2nd of October. And, of course, the main concert, Extravaganza, the best of the best for Mexico, mariachi and folklorico, Saturday, October 3rd. You can't miss this at the Rosarito Beach Hotel. That's right.
That sounds absolutely wonderful. There's only one thing that could make it even better, and that would be if the funds were going to help the kids of Rosarito Beach, and I think that's exactly what happens, right?
That's exactly what happens. We're about 50 volunteers who work the festival, and as I mentioned to you, Philip, none of us receive a dime for this event. This is completely volunteer. Everybody knows where all the money goes to, directly into the club operations and for the building of the bigger club. So we need you to come over and have a great time and benefit the kids.
And take it from me, everybody. And Rosie, you know how much I love hanging out at the hotel. I love walking out on the pier. I love being up on my balcony and looking at the sunset. I love having dinner at the hotel, sitting in the lobby and people watching, walking into town and dining on street tacos, or going down and seeing my friend Tony Lozano at La Guarita, or any number of great things you can do in Rosarito. The people are so lovely. It's such a wonderful place. And now, with this great event to help the kids of Rosarito, as well as really sees the best of the best in Mexico, you just can't beat this weekend.
Correct, Felipe. You can't beat the weekend. You have to come over. You're going to have a blast. Trust me, you're going to have an incredible time. So many events to go to for the long weekend, so many stuff to do, and you know you're going to be benefiting the kids, the vulnerable kids of Rosarito. And just to mention, another activity that you can do is be a volunteer. So many people need you, so come on over. That's another activity to do in Rosarito, like you. you've been a volunteer with our kids, and you've taught them a few things here and there, so thank you.
And as usual, being a volunteer, I get way more out of doing that than I'm able to give to the kids, because just being around those kids gives me such a great sense of life and what's important in life, and it's always such a pleasure. If people want to get tickets to this wonderful event, what's the best way to do that, Rosie?
Well, you can get tickets via the Rosarito Beach Hotel if you're close by, and also online at www.clubrosarito.org. You can buy tickets there already, clubrosarito.org.
Perfect. Well, I will see you soon. I think it's important that all the folks who are listening to our show know that you are a fishing fanatic. I think you love fishing just about more than anything.
Oh, I so enjoy not just going out and fishing, but it's the day outside in nature with the ocean. You always see at least a good amount of dolphins, different birds, whether you catch something or not, which, of course, you always catch something if you go fishing in Baja. But it's just the day. It's something else. I got to go. Let's go, Philip.
I'm ready. We're going to get you to come up here and catch some jurel with us, some yellowtail, with Joaquin and myself and Will and the rest of the guys here. But in the meantime, I thought I would leave you with this, Rosie, and that is that I have a lot of blessings in my life, a lot of blessings in my life, but one that I count really, really high on my list is my friendship with you, your sister, your brothers, your father and mother. The Torres family has been so wonderful to me throughout many, many years. And to know people that are so decent and hardworking and doing such great things in their community is a real honor for me.
Oh, thank you, Felipe. Likewise, amigo. You help out so much over here. Thank you very much.
Rosie, you take good care. Give my best to everybody down there. And we will see you September 30th through October the 3rd for the Festival Internacional, the International Festival, Mariachi and Ballet Folklorico. It's going to be a great week, and I can't wait to come down and see you.
Oh, fabulous, amigo. Can't wait to see you and all your friends. Come on over. You're going to be helping a fabulous class and having a wonderful time.
Rosie, take care. I'll see you soon.
Take care, amigo.
Always great to have Rosie Torres on the show with us. She is such a lovely person. And they're doing so much good down there in Rosarito Beach with the kids. You have got to get down there for the Mariachi and Ballet Folklorico event. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'll be down there, and I can't wait for that to happen. Hey, speaking of Baja, we've got an exclusive offer for you. The Backlash Radio listeners, the PFO fans, the Aventuras al Aire Libre folks. And that comes from our friends down there at Villa del Palmar. You heard Joaquin and I talk about that great hotel down in Laredo. So fantastic. I mean, the ambience is fabulous. You're out overlooking all these beautiful islands in Laredo. You can take a beautiful walk on the beach. This is not a five-star hotel. It's a million-star hotel because you're out in this remote part of the Baja Peninsula, and you look up in the sky at night, and there are so many stars. It is absolutely phenomenal. It takes you about 30 seconds of looking up there to spot a satellite or two. I always love doing that, or see a shooting star. It's really great. But, of course, you've got great fishing down there, and you've got hiking, all kinds of outdoor activities. The spa is first rate down there. There's so much to do at Hotel Villa del Palmar. And we have got a deal just for you. $119 per night in a deluxe studio suite, plus taxes and gratuities. The normal price, $184. You can book from now until December the 11th, 2015, for travel until December 17th, 2015. It is really fabulous. Now, you have to reference the code, and I've got the code on Facebook at PFO. I've also got the code in the body of the text of today's show here on Blog Talk Radio, but it is FAMPFO15. That is F as in Frank, A as in Apple, M as in Mary, P as in Philip, F as in Frank, O as in Oscar, 15. Use that when you book and you'll get that special deal. And $119 a night at this hotel, well, you're simply not going to believe it. Hotel Villa del Palmar at the Islands of Laredo awaits you. You will love it. You can take the family down there. It's perfect for all the kids. The food is really, really outstanding at the hotel. But the thing that I probably enjoyed more than anything were the people that worked at the hotel. Big smiles on everybody's faces, there to help you out. Really a fabulous place. And now with this special deal, $119 per night in a deluxe studio, you simply cannot beat it. FAMPFO15. Make sure you book and get down there and save some money and enjoy a beautiful time of the year. You know, the fall in Laredo is just perfect, especially I love that November, December time period. It's such a lovely time of the year. The air temperatures are perfect. The fishing's still great, and I think you're going to totally enjoy it. All right, hope you can book a trip down there soon. And now, talking about all this warm water and everything, as we have earlier on here, we're going to turn it over to Mensa Man, the brilliant Mensa Man, who opines on all the scientific stuff here at PFO because the rest of us aren't smart enough. So we'll turn it over to Will, and we want to talk El Nino, and we want to talk about something called the blob. What's that all about, Will?
Well, everybody, there is going to be a huge, huge fight-off this year. Everybody's heard that this is going to be an excellent El Nino year. It's supposed to be very, very powerful. It's supposed to be a lot of rain, a lot of water coming out of there. Not enough quite to fill the reservoirs and make up for the last little bit here in California being so dry. There's a kicker. There's a joker in the deck, and that joker is the blob. For those of you who've been listening to the weather off and on for the past 6 months, the blob is really, it's patches of freakishly warm water up and down the California coast, hundreds and hundreds of miles across. And that's going to be the wild card with El Nino right here. If the blob does not get involved, we're going to get plenty of rain here in the south, plenty of rain up in the north. If the blob gets in there and interferes a little bit with the weather patterns that we're normally going to see with an El Nino situation, then Northern California is going to remain fairly dry. Southern Cal will get rain, but probably not as much as what's first expected. So the blob versus the El Nino, it's going to be like the rumble in the jungle. It's going to be the thrill in Manila. And we're just going to have to wait and see how that plays out. However, in either case, be aware that this El Nino is going to be dropping a lot of rain with or without the blob affecting it. So if you guys haven't checked your roofs lately, if you haven't tightened up your windows a little bit, definitely while the weather is good, this is the time to go on the roof, clean those gutters, take a look at your tiles, maybe get some patchwork done on the roof or get the entire roof done. Because when this rain hits, it's going to be long, it's going to be hard, and if you got a problem, you're not going to be able to get a roofing company out there. So you better get the buckets out, you better get the tarps out. Also a good time to go rock fishing, so the trade-offs are both good and bad. But that's what's happening with a blob out in Southern California waters. And, of course, the other thing that we're all worried about is there's something called the Pacific Decadal Oscillation. And that's up around the state of Washington. It's right around where the where the U.S.-Canadian border is. That whole area is just a big bunch of currents that are going around. And if you think of conditions up there as a pendulum going back and forth, swinging back and forth, causing the weather to get good and bad over maybe a 10, 12, 15-year cycle, and you combine it with the blob and the El Nino, think of them as all pendulums that are all sort of going at different rates. Some of them are a little slower. Some of them are faster. It's going to be really interesting to see what happens when all three of those events come together in the absolute right or wrong way, because we're either going to be really, really wet or we're going to be really, really wet all over the state of California, and Oregon and Washington will probably also get some of the fallout. So, Phil, that's what's happening out there, and it's just going to be another 3-4 months before we see whether the blob beats El Nino, whether they build together like two waves, or whether they counteract each other and the energy that would normally feed El Nino stays trapped in the blob, rather.
All right. So am I getting this right? Is there a possibility that the drought continues, or is it going to be rainy, just a matter of how much rain?
At the present, and the weather is the world's greatest crapshoot, I would suspect that we are going to get a significant amount of rain here in Southern California. If the blob and El Nino complement each other, or they don't fight too much. If the energy in the blob and El Nino builds, it's going to be really, really wet. If they remain separate, if they act as two separate patterns, Southern California is probably going to get very wet. NorCal, not so much. So all those poor farmers up in Central California, they're really holding their breaths just to see what's going to happen. If everything occurs in the right way, we're going to be up to our ears in water. If things don't occur simultaneously and build, it's only going to be Southern Cal. NorCal will be dry, and San Fran is going to be really hoping that the Hetch Hetchy Reservoir keeps them afloat.
All right, great stuff, Will. Thank you. Good advice. Sage advice also about, you know, it seems counterintuitive when it's 90 degrees, 100 degrees to go out and check your roof, but now is definitely the time to do that. All right, great show, everybody. Live from Surfside, California, it has been a pleasure to be with you all again. There is so much great fishing in so little time, and it's continuing here again with great local yellowtail action out in front of San Pedro, Long Beach, wonderful yellowfin tuna fishing down towards San Diego, and outstanding fishing at Catalina Island, the Channel Islands, not far behind. And so many great outdoor opportunities awaiting you in Laredo. I hope you get a chance to get down to Villa del Palmar, and remember the deal we have for you. You can book down there for $119 a night instead of $184. And all those details are on PFO at Facebook, so you can check that out. Brian, many thanks to Rosie Torres, Don Ashley, Al Schnippershop. Who else was on the show with us? Well, Will Eversman, thank you. Armando Gonzalez with that great story about the oar fish and visiting Catalina Island. And thanks to each and every one of you for being with us. For Will Eversman, this is Phil Friedman saying thanks for joining us on Backlash Radio. We'll see you again next week.